Isaiah chapter 45. I'd like to read verses 20 through verse 23. You follow along with me. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from the time? Hath not I the Lord? And there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that this message would go forth today with power and with boldness, and Lord, that your will might be accomplished. I pray today that you encourage the Christians that have come here and that you'd strengthen them and help them in their walk. I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here that's lost, that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today might be the turning point in their life, that today might be the change that they were looking for, that today they might be saved. Lord, we pray that you would have complete control over what goes on here today, and we want to give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look again at verse 22. Let's read verse 22 over, because it's the verse that I'd like to focus on as the text of my message today. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. You know, I don't know. I had no idea what Brother Steve was going to preach on today, and it occurred to me as I was looking through the scriptures that I needed to preach on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course it changed a little bit. I'm not going to concentrate exactly on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ because I want to hit a particular issue. It's an issue that's kind of left aside in Christendom today, and yet it's the central issue, and that's the salvation of the soul. Look what it says in verse 22. Who is speaking here? Who is the author of this statement right here when he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. First of all, I want you to notice out of this passage right here that the author, the one who spoke this, is God. Please hold your place here and turn to Philippians chapter 2. If you are here in Sunday school, you are already in Philippians chapter 2. But we're going to go back there again. Hold your place in Isaiah and turn to Philippians in chapter 2. It says there in verse 6, who, being in the form of God, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 2, 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, of the things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want you to notice something right here. Back in the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ was born, the very Jehovah God who led Israel, who inspired his people, said, I am God and there is none else. And he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And in the New Testament, which is the revelation of the Old Testament, the New Testament is the reality. The Old Testament is a shadow. When you look at the New Testament, you are looking at what takes place after the cross of Calvary. When you look at the Old Testament, you're looking at what took place before. Everything in the Old Testament looks forward to the cross, and everything in the New Testament references back to the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary is the central event in all of human history because it's when God, the Savior, died for all mankind. In fact, it says in John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, one day the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was lifted up. You see, in the Old Testament, when God says, "Look unto me and be ye saved," we can see from our perspective that there is none other to look upon except the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's so much going around today. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus is not Lord Maitreya. That the Lord Jesus is not the Virgin Mary. That the Lord Jesus is not some mystical thinking somewhere. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator of heaven and earth. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is, just as Steve was preaching about this morning in Sunday school, He is divine. He is the very God. He is the everlasting Father. And when He says there in the Old Testament, He says, "Look to me and be ye saved, for I am God," we can safely say that Jesus Christ is God. There is no other that accepted worship and got the blessing of God except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other said, either stand up by myself, I'm also a man, or God had to kill him and destroy him because he was worshipped. False gods are worshipped all the time. But the Lord Jesus Christ accepted worship because he is the very God. Notice the message. The message says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Is there any doubt today where the heart of God is? Is there any doubt today exactly what God is trying to accomplish in this present day and age? God's greatest desire is not that your self-esteem would be raised. In fact, preaching on sin does very little for self-esteem, I tell you that right now. But it's not God's greatest desire to see that everybody in the earth has self-esteem, that everybody on earth has self-awareness, that everybody in the earth has everything that they need, has clothes on their back, has shoes on their feet. It's not God's greatest desire that everybody would have all these temporal needs taken care of. But God's desire for mankind is that everyone would be saved. God could have forced it. God could have made you saved, just like He did the angels. But God didn't do it that way. God put it into your hands to call upon His name. What I'd like to talk about today is the greatest issue that a man or a woman could ever face, and that's the salvation of their own soul. There are some of you in the room that you've called on the Lord and you're saved, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved and that God has redeemed you and you rejoice in that. I would like you to pray. Because it could very well be that there are some in this room today that are not saved. He says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Back in June, we went to Colorado Springs and we had a preaching campaign. And it was very interesting because the results that we got there were a whole lot different than the results that we get down here in San Antonio. Colorado Springs is not exactly the Bible Belt. It's more the New Age Belt. You know, things are a whole lot different. I remember I knocked on this lady's door. And we were getting ready to preach out in front of her house in this particular neighborhood. And I knocked on her door, and it was a very nice house. And it was apparent that she was fairly comfortable, not exactly rich or well-to-do. But she answered the door, and I said, "Look, my name is Brian, and we're Christians, and we're out in your neighborhood today. And what we'd like to do is out here in the street, we'd like to preach the gospel to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'd like to invite you outside to listen to the gospel." "To the what?" "You know, to the gospel. To the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins and He could save you." And she said, "Why?" And I was kind of insulted for a minute. I said, "What do you mean, why? Haven't you ever listened to the Bible? Don't you know that you need to be saved?" I tell you what the woman's problem was, is she did not know she needed to be saved. Saved? Saved from what? Saved from a car wreck? Saved from a deep sea drowning? Saved from what? We flip that word around all the time, that you need to be saved. I want to tell you from the Bible this morning what exactly God intends to save you from. Because you need to be saved. One of the things God is looking for, He says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." There is no issue greater than the fact as to whether or not you're saved. Do you know today? Do you know today whether or not you're saved? Maybe you're visiting us for the first time. You said, "Man, what is all this stuff?" Do you know whether or not you're saved? Some of you have been coming to church with years with your parents. You're young, but do you know whether or not you're saved? Do you know? In the book of Matthew, in verse 21, I'd like you to look at a verse with me. Matthew chapter 1 in verse 21. The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For," look at this verse real close, "he shall save his people from their sins." Amen. I went to a college course. I attended and took a college course where they just belittled the book of Genesis, all the pieces. They belittled all the stories in it. They belittled all the things in it. But you know, I'm one of those strange kind of people who believe that the book of Genesis is true. You know why I believe it? Because God said it. You know, it's a lot easier to believe that Adam and Eve were in the garden than to believe that nothing rubbed up against nothing and all of a sudden there was something, you know, all by itself. And that something got hot and exploded, and that explosion created a muddy bog. And that muddy bog produced an amoeba that was living, and that amoeba had a tail, and he started swimming around, and then he decided one day he was bored of swimming around, so he got out of the pool, and he grew legs, and then he started reading, and he created everything here. Evolution just doesn't fit. Evolution just doesn't work. But it is man's attempt at trying to deny what God said. God has the power to create the heavens and the earth. Does he not also have the power to create a human race? But let me tell you what happened in the garden. God created Adam and Eve and they were perfect. They enjoyed the garden until the one day they did the one thing that God had told them not to do, and they took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. They took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God did something that day. God, it says in the Bible, condemned the entire human race under one man, Adam. He condemned them. Today, you and I are under the condemnation of sin. Whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not, the Bible says in Romans in chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That means that every single one of us possess a sin nature. Every single one of us are descendants of Adam. Every single one of us are sinners that need a Savior. God condemned an entire human race. He could have taken His Son, and He could have saved Adam, and He could have saved Eve. He could have raised them up, but that's all He could have done. But what God did in His mercy is He condemned the whole race, that by one man, Jesus Christ, He could save all them that believe. As a representative, one man, all died, so that in one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, all could be made alive. You see, you're mad at God because you learned that He made you a sinner. But when you understand what God did, you realize it was the most merciful thing that God could ever do. You see, we think, well, if I would have been born perfect, I sure never would have taken the apple. Yeah, right. If Adam and Eve were created perfect, they were the ultimate in human beings. If they couldn't even make it, you so proud to think that you could have handled it and you could have stayed up? The truth is that God condemned you, that God sold you under sin, God made you a sinner so that you could be eligible for the greatest salvation that God ever offered. God looks at a fallen human race, and maybe you today, and God says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." I don't know if you understand what opportunity you have today to actually be in a place where the Word of God is preached and to actually hear the message that God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of mankind, and that anybody that will believe and trust in Him could have eternal life. But you're a very blessed person to have that opportunity today to be able to call on His name. Are you saved? Saved from what? "Saved from sin, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." You know, the Gospel of John chapter 3 says that men love darkness more than light. They love darkness rather than light. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come into the world. How many people are flocking to the Lord Jesus Christ? In this day and age, not many. Not many are flocking. Not many people are busting down the doors of the church. I've got to hear the Word of God. I've got to find out who this Jesus is. Not many people are doing it. I'll tell you why. Because men love darkness more than light. And there's something that will hinder you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's your own sin. That's your own darkness. The fact that you love what God hates. You love your sin. And you love your rebellion. And so you will not come to Him that you might have life. And the thing you need to do today is to be saved from your sins. You see, the wages of sin is death. Not only the wages of sin is death, but the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. How about standing before a living God? In your sin. Who have you got to defend for you? Who will plead for you? Without a Savior, how can you possibly expect to stand before a living God? Without a Redeemer, without someone. Job cried in his day and he said, if I just had someone, a daysman, who could go to God and bring me and God together. Well, I want you to know today that Jesus Christ is that daysman. Jesus Christ is the mediator. Jesus Christ is the go-between. He's the one that went from God and came down to man and died and made the way possible for men to get back to God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. You don't get saved by reforming yourself, by cleaning up your act, by trying to do good, by making it better, by being responsible, by being a good citizen. No, my friend, you gotta be saved from your sins. And to be saved from your sins, you gotta be washed in the blood, because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses all men from their sins. Have you been saved? Have you ever been to Jesus Christ and been saved? That's the only question I'm asking today. Have you ever been saved? I want you to look at another passage of Scripture with me. Look at the book of Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews 9, 14. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, look back up at verse 13. We'll take it from there. He said, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh. So, well, what in the world does that have to do with anything? It's talking about the Old Testament sacrifice. It's talking about the Jewish religion and how they used to sacrifice animals according to the Old Testament law in order to show a picture and a type of what God was going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the Old Testament, they slew a lamb and they put him on the altar. When Jesus Christ came on the scene, John the Baptist looked at him and he says, behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. So what he says here, he says, the blood of bulls and goats, they sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Today, my friend, you not only need to be saved from your sins, you need to be saved from dead works. Just recently, a woman who is revered around the world for her humanitarian and charity acts died. She died spending her whole life serving mankind. There's no telling how many children, both disabled and non-disabled, both orphaned and parented alike, it's no telling how many children she saved and she helped through the order, the religious order that she began. When you think of Mother Teresa, you don't think about sin. You don't think about unrighteousness. You don't think about wickedness. That's not the first thought that comes into your mind. You think of goodness. You think of righteousness. You think of the example of how all men ought to be, don't you? But Mother Teresa, several months ago, it's reported to have said, with all the flying around that I've done, I should make it into heaven. A priest preached a message not too long ago. I think it was on Catholic television. And he said, Mother Teresa didn't make it into heaven. Mother Teresa, as good as she is, had to go to purgatory. So where does that leave us? And of course, his insinuation was that if she went to purgatory, we're finished, man. We ain't got a chance. But I want you to notice that this right here is just the greatest attempt that man can possibly make to try to make themselves righteous before God by doing good works. But I want you to look at a verse quickly with me. Look in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. This may be the first time that you ever heard it. This idea may shock you, but this is a biblical idea right here. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast." Let me tell you something. Today, I'm not standing up here trying to downgrade or trying to slam that woman, because she did a lot of good for society. She did a lot of good for Calcutta and all around the world. But I want you to know today that to be saved, good works do not enter into the picture. He said, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, our human nature would tend to get us to begin comparing notes when we got up to glory. "Well, why are you here?" "Because I started orphanages." "Well, why are you here?" "Well, because I pushed a lady out of the way of a car just in time and the car hit me instead." "Well, why are you here?" "I don't know, but I'm here, you know." The men would begin to boast and strut around heaven and saying, "Man, aren't I the chiefest around here?" The disciples who were redeemed and saved and followed the very Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, even they contended with themselves. Who's the greatest among us? Which one of us is the most faithful? Which one of us is the most spiritual, you know? It's exactly the way we are as humans. But there's one thing about good works. As the Bible says, He wants to purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Well, how can something like what Mother Teresa been a dead work? It was a dead work, not in that it wasn't a good work, because it was, but that work does not have the ability to cleanse a man from his sins. That work does not have the ability to save a man from his sins, because if you could work and make your own way and save yourself, then Jesus Christ did not have to die, and there would be no purpose for a Savior. But Jesus says, "Look unto me." The Bible says, "Look unto the Lord. Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." He wants you to be saved because you need a Savior today. I want you to know that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. All the votive candles, they can all be thrown away. You don't need to pray anymore to all those different deities that you pray to, because the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not consider yourself a great and tremendous sinner like some. Some of you do. You look at your life and you're embarrassed and you say, "How could God possibly look at me? I'm so wicked." Others of you are a little more straight and you say, "Man, I'm not so bad. Whether good or bad, it doesn't matter. You still need to be saved." Now, look at another verse with me, please. Look at the book of Romans in chapter 5 and verse 9. Back up to verse 8, please. He says, "But God commendeth His love towards us." That's an amazing thing. Don't ask me to explain why God would love us, but He does, and I am thankful. "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners," before we cleaned up our act, before we tried to make ourselves good for God, before we tried to get holy, before we tried to get righteous, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Do you know anything about what's coming in the days ahead? The end of the world is something that is scoffed at and laughed at and ridiculed by, you know, just about everybody. You know, you see the pictures of the old man in the robes and he's carrying the sign that says the end is near and all that stuff, and we ridicule it. But you know, the Bible is very clear. The wrath of God is still future. God will one day pour out His wrath upon mankind. I want to show you a picture. You may not like me reading this, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. Look in the book of Isaiah in chapter 13, first of all. Isaiah chapter 13. This is not necessarily the verses that people go to when they want comfort, when they want strength. But this is the verses in the "Shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take a hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, and they shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chased roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up, and they shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land. And it goes on, and it goes on, and in many passages of the Bible, it continues to go on. Now I want you to look at another verse. You say, well, that's Old Testament. That had to do with something else. I want you to look at the book of Revelation in chapter 6. If you've never read the book of Revelation, it's divided up basically into three sections. It's divided up into the seals. It's divided into trumpets and vials. Each one of them show the wrath of God during a concise period of time called the tribulation here on earth that as yet is still future. And in Revelation in chapter 6 and in verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as the sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the rocks and mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I want you to notice something. In these passages, scriptures talking about the wrath of God coming and falling upon the earth. And that event, my friend, is still future. It's called the tribulation period. You may see the day, you may not see the day, but God says it's going to happen. And the Bible says that all the rich men of the world, all the men of affluence, all the men who were politicians, all the ones who had power on the earth, those that were beautiful and those that were ugly, those that were rich and those that were poor, those that were free and those that were slaves, all hid themselves in the dens and in the cracks of the rock and said, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall stand? There is no human being that is able to get out of the wrath of God. There is no human being that is able to stand when the day of God's wrath comes. There is no human being that will escape the day of the wrath of God. You say, well, maybe I'll die and I won't have to go through all that. I won't see that. But I want you to notice something. In the same book, in chapter 20, he says in verse 11, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The final event for all men outside of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many ministers that you talk to today will tell you that hell does not exist. Many people you talk to will reason it out and say that hell is here on earth. I talked to a soldier one time, and he had been through a terrible experience in the war, and he said, I've already been through hell. But he hasn't. Because you see, the experience he went through had an end. No war lasts forever. But the judgment of God upon those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, it goes forever and forever and forever. Nobody can stand before the wrath of an almighty God. Nobody can possibly finagle their way out of the wrath of an almighty God. What are you going to say to God when you're standing before Him? Are you going to be angry? Are you going to be angry like Cain was and said, man, I'm angry because you didn't offer my sacrifice? Are you going to be mad because he didn't accept your good works? Are you going to be upset because you think he wrongly judged? What difference is that going to make? How you feel, how you react, what you think about the situation? God is in complete control. And when you stand before his throne, you'll be judged according to your works. And the Bible has already declared that no one is saved by their works. You're finished. You're done. Your history. You think you've got 90 years to live, and in those years you're going to do a lot for the world, and you're going to do a lot for God. But my friend, there's one thing, and one thing only, that will determine your eternity, is whether or not you're saved. The Philippian jailer went down to the dungeon where Paul was singing praises and where the prison was shaken. When the rubber met the road, he had only one question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must you do to be saved? That's the only question worth asking. That's the only question concerning your eternity that's worth asking, is what must you do to be saved?
Look in the Gospel of John in chapter 10 and in verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then you say to yourself, well, he wasn't talking about me because I'm an adulterer. Or he wasn't talking about me because I've wasted away my life with drugs. Or he wasn't talking about me because I've been playing a game for years and he couldn't possibly save me. But listen, this offer goes out to anyone, if any man. Are you one of those any men? Jesus Christ is the door to your salvation. He's the only door. I am the door. It's not a physical door you walk into. Jesus Christ is the entrance into eternal life. He says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. My friend, today, your only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't base your hope on the fact that your parents are Christians and they take you to church. Young man, young woman, you need to be saved. There's no other way. In one more verse in the book of Acts in chapter 4 and in verse 12, he says, neither is there salvation, Acts 4:12. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you understand today your need for salvation? Do you understand today where you stand when God says, look unto me and be ye saved? Today God wants to save you from your sins. Today God wants to save you from your dead works. And today God wants to save you from an eternity in a hell from which there is no escape. Today, if you'll hear His voice, the Bible says, don't harden your hearts. He says, behold, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Where do you stand right now today? Are you saved? If you're not, will you call on the Lord and be saved? Like His promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you humble yourself? Will you put your dead works, your religion, your sin behind you? Turn away from it and turn towards God and repent and turn towards Him. Will you do that today if you're lost?
I went and made a visit this week. Kind of a weird visit, but it had a story in it that really, really touched me. It was about a man, and I visited him, and he used to come to the church a while back, and he was a
He was in an accident back first part of the year. That's why I hadn't seen him in 7 or 8 months, and I didn't know where he was. And it turned out he'd been in an accident, terrible accident. Been in the hospital for about 6-8 months, and trying to regain his memory and regain the use of his body. Turned out he was in a head-on collision. He was in a head-on collision, and he was just going his way. And as far as I could tell, there was nothing that he was doing wrong or nothing that he did that contributed to the collision at all. But a man had hit him. Turned out to be a young man. A young man who was driving a completely, fully restored 1965 Mustang. Beautiful thing. You know where he was going? He was on his way to get married. He was on his way to a wedding. He's going to get married. He had a head-on collision, and before he could even think about what was going on, he passed out into eternity. He never got married. He never lived to enjoy that beautiful car that he owned. He never lived another day to hear a gospel message. I have no idea whether that young man was saved or whether he was lost. But I want you to know the day that he had that wreck, it didn't matter who he was married. It didn't matter who his friends were. It didn't matter what they thought about him. It didn't matter how he felt, like people, they turned heads when they looked at his nice car as he drove down the road. The nice car didn't matter. Whatever plans he had for the future, all of a sudden, they didn't matter. And I want you today, I want you to know today, and listen very carefully, that if you're lost, if you're not saved right now, nothing else matters. Nothing else. My only plea, and this comes from the deepest, dark parts of my heart, because when I was 21 years old, God miraculously saved me. Saved me from my sins, from my dead works, saved me from an eternity in hell. And He wants to save you today. Will you call upon Him? Will you ask Him to save you today? We're going to stand. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to sing a song number 249. This song says, "Just as I am." You don't need to do anything else but to repent and to come. I want you to know that I cannot save you. No priest can save you. No saint can save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you from the things that we've been talking about today. And He's willing to do it today. Are you going to take the gamble that you'll be alive tomorrow? I'm not trying to pressure you. I'm just giving you facts. Today is the day of salvation. You call upon His name, you call upon His name today. Christians, you pray. As we sing number 249, the altar's open. If you'd like to be saved, simply step out of your chair, come down to the front, get down on your knees, and don't ask me, you ask God to save you from your sins. And His promise is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's His promise for you today. Will you call upon Him as we sing number 249? Lord Jesus, I am so thankful that back when I was 21 years old, You had mercy on me. You reached me and You saved me. Lord, I remember the times that I resisted You and that I ran away from You, and Lord, You were faithful. Lord, I want to thank You for being faithful, for reaching out to me. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in here today that is lost, down in their heart they know it, and for some reason or another they're resisting You, they're fighting against You, they're somehow holding back on coming to You, I pray that all that resistance would disappear, and that they would surrender to Your will. Lord, I pray for any man or woman, boy or girl in this room today that's lost. Lord, that You'd give them no peace in their heart, that You'd convict them until they come and bow their knee and declare You to be Lord. Lord, we want to give You all the honor and the glory. And Lord, we want to thank You so much that You came to be our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. You're welcome back at 7 o'clock tonight.